Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Once in a blue moon, news from Europe and news from New Jersey are entwined. News came today from Belgium that the European Union has drawn a new fiscal treaty with stricter rules on debt, deficit, and enforcement, bringing countries on the continent closer together to face their economic crisis. It's a decision which notably does not include the United Kingdom, as Prime Minister David Cameron pointedly explained.
It's not easy when you're in a room with many other people who all want to press ahead, who all say, forget about your safeguards, forget about your interests, let's all just sign up to this thing together. It's sometimes the right thing to say, I'm afraid I cannot do that.
And the UK declined to join their 26 colleagues in the EU in helping to bail out the Eurozone. In the meantime, the European sovereign debt, which is dragging down the EU, are at the center of the downfall of MF Global Holdings, the now bankrupt futures brokerage led until last month by former New Jersey Governor John Corzine. Corzine testified in front of a House subcommittee yesterday about missing customer funds and his possible wrongdoing. We'll hear a clip of that in a minute. Joining me to talk about both stories are Matthew Leising of Bloomberg Businessweek, who's been covering MF Global, and Christina Alessi, who's been reporting on private equity generally. Matthew and Christina, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
And Matt, before we get to Corzine, I want to ask you about Europe and this treaty, which I think the right number is 26 out of the 27 EU countries have agreed to, Britain the exception. What does the treaty entail?
Well, it's a way for the Eurozone governments to become more of a fiscal union than just a monetary union. They share the euro currency. And so this is a way for them to...
What's the difference between fiscal and monetary?
The difference is that up to this point, governments haven't had to agree to certain spending limits or to agree on how they're going to raise capital or how much debt they're going to issue. So you've got countries like Greece who have gone into huge amounts of debt, and countries like Germany who have been more fiscally responsible. So this treaty is a step forward for them to act more in concert so that investors can be more assured of what is going to be the future of Europe and this union.
Reportedly, the UK was unhappy with the protections that the treaty would have included for its banks. What do we know about those financial protections and what Cameron would have wanted?
Well, I think from the news reports, it seems clear that, that Cameron was worried that the euro countries were going to not necessarily protect the UK's interests. They might. I think he was worried that they were going to put the interest of the euro countries ahead of what is best for London, which is the trading capital of Europe. And as everyone knows, you know, the UK has never entered into the euro itself. It still has its own currency.
So, Christina, this is where Europe meets Trenton. It was European sovereign debt, which has been at the center of the MF Global failure. And, of course, MF Global, run by former New Jersey Governor John Corzine until recently. Explain to our listeners, how exactly did Corzine bet on those, as you and Matt have reported for Bloomberg?
Sure. Our reporting really centered on the fact that what John was doing, and this was his idea, as we've reported out, that he presented to the board of MF Global as a way to basically generate more revenue for the company, which was facing some really serious challenges as far as their business model went. So the trade itself was a bet that European countries would actually remain solvent in the short term. And his bet is actually not wrong, and as far as the short term goes. And he convinced the board and other risk managers at the company that he would ultimately be right on this bet. He came into there was an issue on two fronts as far as the actual trade went, and this is the reporting that Matt and I and another colleague have done around it. And that focuses on two elements. One is the size of the overall position of the trade was actually double the amount that was disclosed to investors. Now, that's fine because MF Global only had to report the amount that was not hedged or protected from a loss, but investors could not see how big this position was actually growing, and it was kept growing because John really wanted to show stronger financials, and this was a way to do it. The problem is that once regulators caught on to the fact that this position kept growing, they demanded more capital to as a cushion against that. Against that position. It's not like the trades were going south, but it was just regulators were saying, look, you're taking on all this risk. You have to raise more money as a cushion against that. So that's number one. Number two, the way that John structured the actual hedge or the protection for these trades was not matched properly. So you had a situation where if the market lost confidence either in MF Global or in the European sovereigns that he was, the debt that he was buying, there was a potential that he could not cover those positions well. Now, that didn't happen, so it's fine, but it seems like the two biggest lessons of the financial crisis were not learned at MF Global. In other words, the two biggest lessons being don't over-leverage and make sure if you're hedging or you're protecting your downside that it's hedged properly. So those are the things that regulators are going to be examining and looking into.
And so Corzine testified in front of a subcommittee of the House Agriculture Committee yesterday, mostly about the $1.2 billion in customer money that may be, in fact, missing. Here is a part of Corzine's answer to questions about whether he broke rules having to do with segregated funds, that is, segregated between the client's money and the company's money. And you will hear Congressman Frank Lucas of Oklahoma in this clip as well.
I never intended to break any rules, whether it dealt with the segregation rules or any of the other rules that are applicable.
Are you aware of any transfers, authorized or unauthorized, of funds out of customer accounts?
I'm not in a position, given the number of transactions, to know anything specifically about the movement of any specific funds.
So, Matt, what rules is he referring to? What kind of wrongdoing is he defending himself against?
Well, it's a sacrosanct part of the futures market that you never, as a futures broker, take your customers' money and use it for your own purposes. That's what he's talking about with segregated accounts. That's where the money has gone missing, as much as $1.2 billion. What investigators and regulators have not been able to determine yet is where that money went. And a very interesting part of the testimony yesterday was when Mr. Corzine said that there might have been a misunderstanding about how he wanted how he had relayed information about what was going on to his employees. It wasn't really followed up on, but he was very clear several times during the testimony to say that his intent was never to do anything wrong. And we've had stories about lawyers interpreting that to mean, you know, he is saying that if something went wrong, it was never his intent. And a lot of times in criminal prosecutions, intent is what a verdict will rest on.
Matthew Leising and Christina Alessi from Bloomberg Businessweek as we talk about Corzine in Europe. And Christina, the ties to Europe go deep at MF Global. They have a UK subsidiary, MF Global UK Limited. Where is the UK subsidiary in all this? And is it possible that the missing funds are there?
That's what regulators are trying to figure out right now. And there were several reports that, J.P. Morgan was actually demanded capital from that subsidiary, and that may have accounted for some of the missing funds at the very least. But it's still unclear, and they're really trying to work it out. But at the end of the day, it's going to come down to, you know, why do you have this missing money in the first place? Like, what is going on in your back office that you can't account for? Now, whether the money was used inappropriately, as we just heard in the clip and as Matthew just explained, or whether it was, just sloppy accounting, either one of those situations isn't very good for Corzine.
You know, Felix Salmon wrote about the parallels between this and the Lehman Brothers collapse on his Reuters blog. Lehman also had customers in the UK and would slush fund money back and forth. Slosh, I think, is the technical term on the street, which might be where MF Global's missing funds are as well in the UK subsidiary. I guess investigators are going to find out. But, Christina, neither Corzine nor anyone else at MF Global have been charged with wrongdoing. People expected Corzine to take the fifth yesterday in his House testimony, and he didn't. So what does that tell you, and do you expect charges against him or anyone else?
I think it's really tough to say at this juncture whether there will be charges. As we've seen throughout the financial crisis, there really weren't many situations or any that I can think of that, you had some extreme cases, but in cases sort of similar to what we're seeing now, criminal charges are very unusual. We've gotten to this point where it's unusual to get them, but who knows? You have a very strong element in Congress and even amongst the general voting population that someone has to suffer for the sins that Wall Street is deemed to have done. So at this point, people, politicians, they may want a head, for lack of a better word, and Mr. Corzine is that person. But again, it's really tough to tell at this juncture whether or not there's really anything solid to base a case on, to base a criminal investigation certainly, but a criminal case.
Here's an interesting question coming in, I think, from Tom in New Jersey in Seabright. Hey, Tom.
Yeah. Hi, good morning. I listened to some of Corzine's testimony, and it just rang so false in his denials of guilt, so empty, especially when he seemed to, over the summer, didn't he actively lobby Gensler at the SEC to loosen rules on what firms like MF Capital could do with clients' money? So how could he say he was unaware of what happened? Was there any focus on that lobbying effort by him?
Tom, thank you. Can either of you confirm that Corzine was lobbying for Congress to loosen the rules on how companies can intertwine corporate funds with client funds?
He did lobby the CFTC about that, but as I understand it's a separate issue. There are permitted ways you can invest client money when you're a futures broker, one of which at that point was in European sovereign debt or foreign sovereign debt. So if you are a European customer and you've got, say, 100,000 euro in your account, MF Global could invest that for you in, say, French bonds that are denominated in euros. But that's a cash transaction. That's $100,000 for $100,000 worth of bonds. What MF Global was doing in its European sovereign debt trade was levered almost 100%. It was basically buying bonds with money that was borrowed from another counterparty using a repurchase transaction. And that's why it was so dangerous, because if the value of those bonds or the creditworthiness of MF Global went down, they were on the hook. So if they had owned the bonds outright, we would not be talking about this right now. They would have taken a small loss, but they always would have had that $6.5 billion worth of collateral there that they could have sold. Instead, it was all borrowed money. And so, that, like Christina mentioned, the leverage of 2008 is kind of haunting us here in this case.
And by the way, Matt, why the Senate and House Agriculture committees for Corzine to testify before? We would think it would be the Financial Services Committee or the Banking Committee investigating a futures company like MF Global. What does the Agriculture Committee have to do with this?
Right, that's a good question. The Agriculture Committee has oversight of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, which in turn has oversight over MF Global because they are a registered futures broker. So you'll get the House Agriculture Committee, and I believe the Senate Agriculture Committee have primary responsibility there.
Matthew Leising and Christina Alessi reporting on private equity generally and the Corzine MF Global case in particular for Bloomberg Businessweek. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. My next guest will be the president of the NAACP, Benjamin Jealous. And among other things, we are going to hear their framing of a word, coctopus, having to do with the super conservative financier David Koch and why they're going to be marching from Koch's office in New York tomorrow. Stay with us.